This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. Joining us is our co-host, Greg Lenz.
Hello, everyone.
Creighton Harrington, how are you?
Pretty good.
Hey, some energy there. Nice. And our special guest this week, no, not Paul Gable. It is...
You know what's funny?
I hope I don't get trolled with this. He actually messaged me on Facebook today and to tell me about my little article I wrote. And I said, yeah, we're probably going to talk about that kind of stuff on the podcast tonight. And he's like, you guys are recording tonight? Spangle didn't tell me about that.
I know. And joining us this week are Maya Axton. Maya, hello.
Hey.
And Gina Martinez. Gina, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Gina, you're a newcomer to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, shit.
Well, and also no cursing.
No cursing.
None? Okay.
You wouldn't be pieces.
I'll have very little to say this podcast. Well, I bleep from bleep.
So how did you...
It's going to sound like Morse code.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about how you discovered libertarianism. Let's focus it to that.
The truth or the fun story?
The fun story first.
Okay. I guess the truth is I ran into libertarianism on accident on campus at IUPUI with y'all.
Mm-hmm. YAL.
Yes.
Not affiliated with this podcast. I'll take care of that for you,
not
buddy.
Not even a little bit. It's cool. That didn't stick. So I ended up running into some very cool people that were friends. And one of them, I suppose, was the vice chair of the part of the...
The Marion County
Marion
Party.
Marion County Party.
Here
thank
in Indianapolis.
You. And that's how I met you guys and stuck.
Cool. And so we started talking, and you decided that you wanted to run for office after we talked a little bit.
Yep.
And so you ran for office in 2012 for what position?
I ran for state senate, District 33 in Marion County.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Yep. As a dirty libertarian, and how did you do?
Oh, as a dirty libertarian, I did pretty well, but as an actual candidate, I only got about 13%. So.
Okay. So, not bad. Not bad at all. Well, thank you for joining us. And, all right, we'll see you later.
All right.
Thanks. Take care. No, Paul Gable, we love you. We love him dearly. He's such a nice guy, and he, like, desperately wants to come on the podcast, and he even started a Facebook page. If I get 100 likes, then I get to go on the podcast.
And he's made it too much fun
right.
to, like, let him on. Like, it's like holding a string or a piece of candy away from a toddler.
I know. At this point, it's like, he's like, so what time should I be there? I'm like, I'm sorry, I already got it booked. I've got Maya and Gina coming on. What? I'm from Boston. I was like, you had your shot. And so he finally, about an hour before we started this recording this, which we're recording Monday night of this week, he's finally just finished the last podcast. He goes, you played my message on the podcast? That is so unfair.
He's on. We satisfied the requirement.
I know.
Hey, it's good enough he was on my podcast, so he shouldn't really want much more, because this one's mine's better than this one anyway. So
Maya, of course, has two podcasts. One, Maya and I do together, Creating Maya, about Maya's transition. Not from republicanism to libertarianism, but from male to female. And then she also has another one that is The Uncontrollables on Indiana Talks. Tell us a little bit about what The Uncontrollables is, Maya.
I still haven't come up with a good answer to that.
All right, fascinating. You can hear that at... You can hear that at theuncontrollables.com. Hey, if you can't...
Uncontrollables and the undescribable.
If you can't plug your own crap in 3 seconds or less, then I'm sorry. No, it is just basically Maya is a voluntarist and talks a lot about politics from a voluntarist perspective. What did you talk about last week?
Me and you covered the Boston bombing. The day of.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. And you've had Occupy Wall Street on. You've had people from around the Hoosier State on to talk about Cop Block. A lot of different stuff. So out of the WAL radio network, as we like to call it, you're the podcast that would have the yellow and black emblem. You'd be the one that we'd put on. Like,
you're the yellow
up
and
there
black
with Free Talk
strain.
Live. So,
yeah. Only... Well, I wouldn't compare myself to Free Talk Live. I mean, it's not. It's a show I control. Those guys are just kind of off the wire. I mean, if you come onto my show, like ask Paul Gable how he did on the show, and I just. You know, I make fun of you, and if you're a guest, you're going to feel like a stupid ass when you leave. But, you know, that's,
so,
that sums it up.
It's entertaining and uplifting radio. Tune in to The Uncontrollables. Enjoy it with the whole family.
Wow, Spangle's radio voice just got extra 50s there for a minute.
So, it's wholesome family fun for everybody to enjoy. All right, let's take a couple of announcements. A few congratulations are in order around the podcast. We'd like to congratulate our very own Creighton Harrington for his earned internship with Young Americans for Liberty this summer. Yay!
Yeah.
Nice! Very good. Congratulations. Tell us a little bit about what that means.
That means that for the entire summer, I'll be living out in Arlington, Virginia, which I have found in the short time since I got the acceptance notification that do not refer to Arlington as Washington, D.C.
Oh.
I guess it is a faux pas.
See, you're already learning things yes. on your internship.
But, yeah, it'll be out in Arlington all summer, and I'll be working with the people I'm working with now, but I won't right. be it won't be over the phone. But it'll be preparing for next semester and preparing for the national convention and doing all that good old
You are currently employed as a regional director for Young Americans for Liberty, so you were kind of a shoo-in for the internship, I guess. Is that nepotism, Creighton?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. It's pretty competitive, and
right.
They waited quite a while to tell me, so...
So if you play your cards right, Gina, he'll be gone all summer. So.
I'm looking forward to...
Hold on, I had your mic off. What?
I, for one, am looking forward to Creighton being gone.
It's but Creighton, not Creighton.
Creighton. I'm going to say it Creighton and spell it Creighton.
You know what? After 23 years of life, people mispronouncing my name doesn't bother me anymore.
I know. The first time he sat down, the very first episode of We Are Libertarians a year ago. And welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm Chris Spangle. This is Chris Galt. And that's Creighton Harrison. And he's like, you don't even know my name, and I'm doing a podcast with you? What an a-hole.
No, the best one is still my middle school health teacher, Mr. Roberts. He called me Craigaton. And I actually told him it's Creighton. And he said, that's exactly what I said, Craigaton.
Full disclosure, he went to Decatur Central.
When Maya mocks you, she says, crate on, and it makes me laugh. I don't know why. All right, so congratulations. You'll be gone out, and you'll be Skyping in every once in a while as your schedule allows. And congratulations. It's certainly an honor, and I wouldn't be surprised if you just didn't come back from Washington, D.C., and the beast swallows you whole.
Yeah.
So,
but from what I understand, there's some congratulatory things
that's
to go
right.
around the other direction.
Yep.
Some,
ladies
some
and gentlemen.
Sitting here won some stuff the other day.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are now listening to the award-winning We Are Libertarians. Thank you. And that's where I'll edit in the applause later. The awards banquet at the
Liberty. You need to edit in just people going,
yes, Arsenio.
The dog pound. The Libertarian Party of Indiana convention was this previous weekend, and the whole gang was well represented in the award nominations, to which we are all greatly humbled and appreciative, actually. Maya was nominated for a campaign leadership award, and Maya won that award, and it was highly entertaining watching everyone's face as Maya walked up to address the body after she had been schooling the Libertarian Party of Indiana on on everything on Facebook. There was mixed reactions amongst the crowd.
It was kind of your cotillion, sweetheart. It was very beautiful.
I was pretty sure I was going to pass out on the way up there because I just wanted to get up there and yell to everybody, I hate all of you. Thanks for this award, but I'm going to go home and burn it. And then the flip side is going, thank you, and then bawling. What came out, I'm not sure. I don't remember what I said at all.
They were tears of hatred.
You like me. You really like me.
You should have pulled a Patton. The guy that played Patton, he got best actor and just was like, screw you guys, didn't even show up.
Well, you realize there was a ploy that I had. There was a plot surrounding the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe the complete meanest person on the face of the planet for 6 months, show up to the convention and be the nicest person ever. And it worked perfectly.
Who puts that much thought into being a social terrorist? Really? Really? Who has that
agent of chaos.
Who has that much time on their hands?
I
not
can
me.
Appreciate, though, benefit off of low expectations.
Everyone's miserable looking forward to the convention. They're like, what is Maya going to blow up?
Okay, well, Chris, what'd you win? You won 2 awards, right?
That's I nice. Did.
A couple big deals.
Yeah. Chris Galt and I both were nominated for the Light of Liberty Award, which is like our best motion picture. It is essentially the person that has contributed the most towards the libertarian cause over the past year. Chris Galt got nominated for his work with the Gary Johnson campaign and the events that he put on for Governor Johnson. I was nominated mostly because I retired as executive director, and it
not
was
not
like,
true at all.
You were nominated because of all the above and beyond you went past your job, because your single little tiny job you were given would have taken you what, maybe a half hour a week, and instead you spent 90 hours a week working for the LPIN on various campaigns and everything else.
It was a pity award, let's be honest.
So you're saying they awarded you for leaving?
If it was a pity award, you wouldn't have cried.
I know. It really did mean a lot, because, you know, when you leave, it's always bittersweet, and it just was really, really nice. The other award that I won was the Outreach Award. Both Joe Ruiz, our managing editor, who's been on the podcast a couple times, he was nominated for Outreach because he was managing editor of We're Libertarians, and I won for our efforts on the podcast. So very appreciative that they recognized We're Libertarians and the work that we're doing over the last few months especially, and the contributions that's made to the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian movement here in Indiana. So very, very cool. And we thank everybody from the Libertarian Party of Indiana. So,
and the listeners, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You guys, too.
And congratulations. Yeah, right.
Of course. And thanks, Greg. Thanks for making me look like a total dick.
And to let everybody know how much Chris really cared about those awards, you can't see them anywhere. I don't see
them.
Shouldn't they be up
them.
On the wall somewhere?
I
like, you should have came home
yet.
That night and hung them. There's a nail right there.
There's a reason.
Right there.
They're on the ceiling in the bedroom.
There's a reason they're
coming. I want to make love to you while I'm looking at my awards.
How would I know?
I couldn't do anything with them yet because I can't stop carrying around the brand new podcast board.
That's a mighty big board you got there, Spangleberry.
You are filthy.
All
right,
I
want to
turn all your knobs.
Well, we have apparently set men and women's rights back 75 years. Way to go, Gina. You've come on the podcast for the very first time and you've ruined it.
I come, fucked it up, I leave.
Could you stop cursing? What are you doing? Now I have to edit.
My apologies. I come, which you can beep or not beep. I beep shit. See? I beep beep up, and then I leave.
Oh, there has been no shortage of news over the past week, and a lot of it really concerning the libertarians. First, we're going to talk about the Boston bombings, and we're also going to talk about CISPA a little bit. Hopefully we get some time. I think a lot of people kind of know what CISPA is, but I think we all have opinions on what took place with the Boston bombing. I think I speak for everybody when we say Friday night was a Friday night when they caught him was glorious, because he is a terrorist bastard who deserves to burn in the fiery pits of hell.
Time out. Allegedly.
Allegedly. See, Gina, by the way, is a left-leaning libertarian, so we didn't...
And I'm going to side with Gina, too.
Thank you. I'm sitting here like, what the...
I'm going
beep.
To side as well with the using the allegedly. I do think he did it, but I still at the same time...
Greg, I know you're with
me. I know that I'm right now, I'm going to be Dick Cheney, because I read the report today that when he performed the carjacking, he said to the guy...
Yeah.
Did you see Boston?
You know how many people have accused me of blowing stuff up?
Amen.
And everyone still believes I've done things.
Okay. Did they have video evidence of you doing it? Do they have you sitting down?
Are we really debating if he's a terrorist bastard?
Just because I can see where this is already going, let me get on record that I think that he did it. I don't think that – I don't say allegedly because I don't think there's proof. I say allegedly because we have a court system.
Amen.
So I'm not trying to say allegedly because I think like The Craft or something did it, which is going on the internet right now.
Hey, that boat was on a grassy knoll, and I don't care what you say.
There's a guy on a roof, man.
Yeah.
There's a red arrow pointing there at him. That's, that doesn't happen.
Did you not read InfoWars and there were Navy SEALs that appeared from the ground and showed up like revelations?
Hey, like invisible cloaks and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's out there. That's out there.
Again, it's a legend. Let's start with the hunt, okay? Do you, Greg Lenz, do you have an issue as the police went door to door searching for the terrorists, shutting down all of Watertown? Do you have an issue with the way that they conducted the search? And we'll just start with you and go this way.
100%. It was illegal search and seizure. I don't care what they justify it with martial law, blah, 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 blah. We didn't even identify the guy until a guy left his house to go smoke a cigarette on his back porch and saw the blood trail going on the deck and into the boat. What this proved to me was that the police state does no good or is minimally effective in finding a suspect in this type of scenario. And if you just have the people be on lookout, you will identify him and without the need to go door to door and violate constitutional rights.
Creighton?
Yeah, I agree. I think you know, shutting down the roads is a different issue, but going door to door to their houses is, I mean, they can knock on the door, but the minute they say, you know, we're searching your house regardless of what you say, that's over the line. I mean, yeah, the guy needed to get caught, but I mean, you know, there shouldn't be a trade-off between, you know, the right to your home and your property versus, you know, them trying to find one guy.
Sure. I wanted to give the police the benefit of the doubt and say that, oh, well, maybe they were. Sorry, Maya. We'll get to you in a minute. Maya runs the cop block group here in Indianapolis, so you can imagine why we're doing her last. I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, well, I'm sure, you know, they understand the law and they're knocking on the door and politely asking for the chance to walk in or for a person to refuse them walking in. And if they really want to get in there, they'll get a warrant. And then I went on the video on liveleak.com and saw the video that I'll attach to the podcast or we'll post on Facebook. And it is 100% clear that they did not even give a crap about the Fourth Amendment whatsoever. They knocked on the door. They started screaming at the person who opened the door, put your hands up, put your hands up, put your hands up, walk out, walk out. The guy drops his hands because he's nervous as hell, and they go, get your hands up! I mean, there's really no reason. If he's clearly not the terrorist, why would you treat a citizen like that?
Well, also, though, let me just add, I did read various accounts of cops not doing that.
Sure.
I've read accounts of cops being turned away and actually leaving, and I don't know if they came back later. I don't know.
Those were all the Boston PD and the local police departments, right?
I don't know who it was.
Those are the ones I read.
There were 10,000 law enforcement officers in that in those four square miles.
The full force of Massachusetts law enforcement came down on one little town for that.
And on one 17-year-old kid.
Yeah, I mean, it was 19. I think everyone probably agrees that it was a little bit overblown of a reaction to find one person
who killed three people.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe four people because there's a cop.
Okay, his actions were heinous. Do not misunderstand me. His actions were absolutely heinous, completely unforgivable. Nothing about what he did was okay. But maybe four people are dead. Many are injured seriously, and there were heinous images that we all saw, so we were all demanding a response. But we literally lynch mobbed this kid and turned Boston into a police state.
And it's true. I think the reaction was you know, overkill. I do think that it was overkill to get the kid.
But what about public safety? I mean, Maya, what about public safety? I mean, the police...
No.
Well, let me finish the question. Don't the police have the right, nay, the responsibility to come into your home if it demands that the public be secure? Isn't that their job?
There's reasons why you have to have warrants, and I don't think this even fits under the exigent circumstances thing that we dealt with here with our recent Supreme Court cases and all that, is that they had no reason to believe he was inside of any of those homes, just like they did with Christopher Dorner. Mm-hmm. They had no reason to believe he was inside of any of those homes that were occupied. I mean, they bust down the doors of homes where nobody answered. That's a completely different story. But my problem with the cops starts way before all of this. First off, they had a huge presence there. They had their bomb dogs and everything else at this event where the bombs went off at. Now, you bomb dogs can only do so much. They have to basically point them at things. But they had a giant, massive police state presence at Boston during the marathon in the first place and did nothing to stop it. So that just shows their shortfalls there. Then their response right after the Boston bombing was atrocious. They closed down cell phone towers, everything else. They shut down communication, so you couldn't contact anybody. Nobody could communicate. How does that make sense?
But isn't that does make sense, because what if more bombs, they don't know at that moment, and here's where I will defend the police.
That was like 45 minutes later.
Hold on. They don't know in that moment whether or not things like the JFK library bomb are a bomb or not. They're hearing different reports, even amongst themselves, because these leaks that are reported on the news are from law enforcement agencies, so they're not properly talking to each other. So they shut down the cell towers because they don't know if the bombs are detonated by cell phones or if they're detonated by timers.
Okay, you can have that one for now. But
for now.
The manhunt,
that was Maya's way of saying, all right, you got me, you're right.
No, well, you're not, but we're not going to get any communications and what the rights of the police are and are not. But didn't you go, and there was no manhunt. There was no big thing. They're like, okay, we're looking into stuff. There's rumors of this person, blah, 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 blah. Until a little bit later, a cop gets shot. Oh, God. Oh, God. Now the manhunt begins. They didn't care that this guy was a Boston bomber. They didn't care about him robbing a 7-Eleven. They cared about a cop getting shot. And that's why there was 9,000 cops, and they all wanted the piece of the pie and to show off their brand new spiffy toys. And they stomped over everybody's rights, and it's not okay. The police do not have the right to shut down your business, to shut down anything, without a freaking warrant. Without a warrant or an actual court document or something, they can't shut down your life, your neighborhood, the streets, and then point guns at you. They're not allowed to do that, and we shouldn't allow them to do that. People should have been marching in the streets against the cops while that was happening. I mean, they should have been out there blockading the streets to keep the tanks from rolling down it, from cops running through their yards. That's an invasion of their property rights and everything.
Tiananmen
People should
Square,
have stood
though?
For that.
I mean, who's going to stand in front of a tank in Boston?
Yeah, I mean, let's put this in perspective.
Perspective. Okay, no one's going to, because America's full of a bunch of pansies and we've allowed this police state to get to this point in the first place.
I don't think that's the reason.
All right.
I think what it was,
all right,
was that
Creighton, go ahead.
I think it was unanimously popular for them to find this guy. I think that the city of Boston, the city of Watertown, was okay for the most part with them, with the reaction they saw. They may not have been okay with getting taken out of their house. I'm sure there were plenty of people that were upset by that. But having the full police force basically blocked out the town to find this guy, I would say I would err on the side that more than half of them were okay with that response.
Mob rule democracy is okay with you?
No, I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm pointing out that it wasn't this. I honestly don't believe that they went crazy when the cop died and they didn't go crazy before that. I don't think that it was because it was a cop. I think it was because they didn't know where the heck to go.
They went crazy when they went into their apartment and they found, I think it was 15,000 rounds of ammunition and more supplies to make bombs. That's when they went crazy.
I mean, they didn't know
they
where to go.
They had plans.
The cops had no idea what direction to go until that guy got shot.
Think about it this way, though. They found all that stuff, and so you're saying they freaked out when they found that stuff. You know how many people I personally know that have way more armaments than that? What happened if somebody was falsely accused of something? Like me, I'm a perfect candidate to be falsely accused of things. If they went into my house and found out what I had legally, they would do the same thing. You're saying that's okay to freak out and go over bounds?
Would you run and hide?
Would I run and hide?
Bleep, yeah.
You would run and hide.
Maya,
I'm not going to go into that.
I'm going to turn your mic off real quick just so this doesn't get... It's already been played back at IUPY student government. Let's not have this play back in future proceedings. All right, so respond to that, Greg.
As far as, like, running, or as far as...
I mean, as far as where do you think that the cops just became incensed at the moment that another police officer was shot?
Oh, definitely. That was part of it. I'm just not saying that was the primary motivation. When they went to their apartment, they found, I believe it was 15,000 rounds of ammunition. They found more supplies for the exact bombs that were used at the marathon. If another attack happens, everyone loses all faith in the Boston Police Department. Everyone. They can't protect us. Then you really have chaos.
Sure.
I just wanted
say that I don't think it's fair to, you know, blanket call every single cop that works for Boston and Watertown.
Now, here's
this independent, like this right. collectively minded person who's only looking out for the sanctity of their police department. Yes, they got upset when a cop died because it was a cop, but everyone gets upset when a cop dies. I mean, right. cop killing is much more, you know, taboo than normal killing. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's the case in American society. I think the reason that that we saw the response we did to the cop getting killed was because it was the first instance where they're like, this is the guy, let's go get him. At that point, they only had a picture of the guy, and they told the public, you know, we can't find this guy right now, you help us find him. They killed a cop, that's the guy that they've been looking for, blowing up the marathon, let's go get him. I mean, it just happened to be after he killed a cop.
I tend to think that this is exactly why the Fourth Amendment was written. Okay, because while you have during this search and seizure, you do have cops knocking on doors, asking politely if they can search the house, and the vast majority of people saying, sure, go ahead, that's fine. Then you do have the cops, like in the live leak video, who are screaming at people, not giving them a chance to say no, walking into their house. You know they don't have a warrant for every home in 4.2 square miles. That's why the Fourth Amendment was written. We're a nation of laws. This is the rule of law, not the rule of men. So the rule of men is when a man with a giant gun and an armored carrier of other armed men knock at your door, they rule you. That's the rule of men. And we essentially in Boston gave over to the rule of men because we're afraid. And the fact is that you have to stand up and you have to say, at this point, if I were one of those folks who didn't get a chance, if my Fourth Amendment rights were violated, as unpopular as I would be in the city of Boston, I would
sue the crap out of them.
Exactly.
And that's why it exists.
Right.
It doesn't actually protect you from illegal search and seizure. It offers you remedy in the event that your rights are infringed.
I mean, the Constitution doesn't do anything unless people actually, you know, try to enforce it on their own.
What happens when you sue? What's the outcome? You get money, right? Mm-hmm. Or you get some closure? Who's paying for that? You just stole from all your neighbors that were in the same position.
No, you redirected wealth.
No. Oh, yeah. You basically became a miniature Obama.
Yeah, but at the same time, if there is a person who is going to sue the police department over that, even in a time when it was probably enormously popular for the cops to do that, I mean that there is a check on future abuses. I mean, yes, it is. Because
people have sued many, many times for many of the same things. You look at what happened after the Dorner case and what happened there. You know what they did? They brushed off the people they treated like just like criminals. They treated all the citizens like crap.
So are you
and they did. They
that,
did.
That,
nothing got better.
Are you going to say that Ceteris Paribus
never got better?
Are you going to say that Ceteris Paribus, a person suing versus not suing, is going to be? It's going to be an indifferent effect.
I'm not saying that suing or not suing is any way in shape or form a solution.
No one's saying it's a solution, but
no, you just said it would help protect against future
it
crap.
It would disincentivize police to do it again in the future.
It may not be as strong as
Thor's hammer at doing it, but it's going to be an incentive. I mean, the live leak video, they looked like SWAT team, right?
No, they were SWAT team.
Yeah, they were SWAT team. And you were mentioning that it was that there might have been like Boston or
local. Boston PD. Everything I read from Boston PD is that they were the ones they were the ones that brought milk to a family. I mean, they were the ones following the law. It was SWAT. It was the National Guard. Those were the ones conducting illegal searches.
And this is the same thing that happens every day with the breaking into people's homes because of drug calls. These are all SWAT teams. I mean, Riley Balco is outspoken on all this. Says that when you train people in a militarized fashion, they're going to react in a militarized fashion.
Right.
And it's SWAT team that's doing it. So I think a more fundamental question would be how with what the culture around, you know, this specific SWAT team kind of mentality thing is versus, you know, the whole putting that on the whole police department in general.
Gina, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. So I can respect what you're saying as far as legislation to go through and uphold the Constitution. However, I just looked up the police officer's oath, which is what they swear on before they get their badge. And it says, "On my honor, I will never betray my badge, my integrity, my character, or the public trust." Okay. I would say the public trust. Okay, we can argue that.
Right.
"I will always have the courage to hold myself and others accountable for our actions. I will always uphold the Constitution, my community, and the agency I serve. I shouldn't have to sue your ass to make you uphold your own oath.
I shouldn't have to try and vote out politicians because they don't follow the Constitution. I mean, oaths are oaths. But the thing is like these things don't get remedied just because we say, "Hey, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is you're a hypocrite. Look at your oath." I mean, the fact remains that this stuff happens. It happened. It's over with. It happened. What is the response? Is the response to go on the internet and argue about it, or is the response for the people that live there to say, what can we do because we were wrong? We can sue. We can maybe elect politicians who run against this kind of police effort. We can try and maybe get, you know,
New laws around police officer action.
I mean, these are responses to this aggression. And it's already happened.
And also the exigent circumstances that we mentioned, those are in place for things like a fire or if a cop is standing outside of a door and they hear a domestic dispute. That gives the police the right to save someone's life in an immediate danger. I don't think that this comes even close to exigent circumstances that gives them the right to go and bust down your door, and let's say you have a brick of heroin sitting on the coffee table. You know, it'd probably get tossed out because of the Fourth Amendment, but that's, you know, we should be allowed and we should encourage people to use the court system to stand up for themselves, to clarify to the government what our rights are, because the government is always going to be on a forward march towards taking more of our liberty and abusing those rights. And if we don't stand up and say something in both the public square and in court and set legal precedents, which is the only language that they speak along with money, then we're just letting it happen. And they're going to do even more, as we see in Dorner and as we see in the Boston case.
Let's also be fair. We live in an echo chamber. So all the stories we hear out of this are ones that confirm our already existing, you know, notions of what we thought happened. Mm-hmm. So there may be plenty of cases of, you know, cops being turned away and saying, well, we can come back with a warrant or something, we'll get it, you know. That could have happened. I mean, us being in, you know, the echo chamber that we are in, we're going to see more of the ones where they were over the line. And that's still wrong, but, I mean, I just want to say that it's unfair to just blanket the entire police law enforcement, you know, community of that area because of the few cases that we've seen. I mean, there's no reason to assume that it happened on every single stop.
Sure. I'm going to blanket the entire law enforcement community of the country.
Because you're a collectivist.
Not because I'm a collectivist. Because you look at how police departments are treated. When you were mentioning that it's only SWAT people, how come I have story after story of people being treated just like that by normal patrol officers? Look at the entire town of LA and what happened with the Dorner case, and you look at the aftermath. You can talk about we've got this avenue to, you know, to protect ourselves from the police and get this back or whatever. No, you don't. Look at LA. Look at what happens in New York City every single day. Look at Chicago. All these places, you can even have instances here with the IMPD.
Who's to blame for that, though?
Who
empowers the police? The people vote in. You vote for your sheriff.
Right.
The people don't
they're
hold
not
people
followed
high
by the
standards.
Law. They don't.
So if anyone's to blame,
no
it's
law.
Voters who don't stand up and grow a backbone.
Well, no, and then who? Look.
She agrees with you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you can't just say. The
sheriffs are elected. We talked to a great sheriff, Sheriff Bradley.
Rogers.
Brad Rogers, yeah.
Brad Rogers. We talked to him this weekend. He's a great guy. But he's a super minority, and he's elected by people.
He said that he wanted to every gun in St. Joe County to be registered, or Elkhart County, right? Elkhart County to be registered, so that way when the S hits the fan, he can go to those people with guns and deputize them.
That's a great thing. But and then one more thing is that police chiefs are appointed. So you've got the vast majority of this country are almost brain dead when it comes to politics and their own liberty and the law, and they elect these horrible mayors and governors and all these other top-end officials that appoint these people. So your solution is, and our protection is we've got a piece of paper that says Fourth Amendment and then some other stuff after it, and we can take it to court if we have a lawyer.
You're just bitching. What is your solution?
What's your solution? Is the same way we've always solved things in this country when they've gotten really bad. You take to the streets. You'd stop these people in their tracks. You don't let them drive tanks to your neighborhood and point guns at children.
Okay, you're really naive. I mean, you look at mean, here's the thing, guys. When you see that show of force, you really think that keeping your semi-automatic weapons is going to do it? Like, aren't we a little bit naive in how big we've let the government get as far as how much firepower it has?
They're still just scared little humans.
And let's be realistic. The thought of the moment on Friday was not, look at these tanks coming down my street, I'm scared. The thought of the moment was, I hope these tanks on the street catch this guy. I mean, we're looking back on it from, you know, a 2020, you know, hindsight's 2020.
Well, I had that perspective while I was watching it on
television. No, I think we would.
But I wasn't there.
Yeah, we're not normal. We're weirdos. We go and do podcasts about, you know, politics once a week.
We want to talk about constitutional rights.
We're not weed. We're not normal people. So when we watched that, of course, that's what we thought. I mean, before they ever found the guy, my Facebook was blowing up with people showing the pictures.
Right.
The stills of the videos of the tanks. No, we immediately thought that. But I'm talking about the normal average Joes who lived in the town. I guarantee you the thing on their mind was not, I'm afraid of these tanks. It was, I want this guy to get caught because he blew up the marathon, Boston Strong. Get him. I mean, that's what they were thinking. So, I don't know. I think we have to put this in perspective. I think that going off on the law enforcement in its entirety is not the appropriate response on the part of libertarians.
You have to pick out the good ones and the bad ones. Gina, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, my thought is actually kind of in defense of what Maya's been doing. You said, you know, who's responsible for this type of overreach? Who's supposed to fix it? And I think that things that like what Maya's doing with Cop Block, you've got to start sort of a thought revolution. You got to put the spark of the question into the minds of the people so that they can start to come to their own conclusions.
And for Indiana Talks, that's COPBLOK.
Oh.
And then there's another thing to throw out there. There is a reason I'm wearing my gray state shirt. So
what is it?
It's basically about the militarization of the police force of the United States and how they're going to basically one day get an order, and they're going to follow it to the T like all little hired thugs do and bust down everybody's door. And just like cops were used to confiscate gold way back when, we've used cops to confiscate and do all kinds of dirty little things for the government.
So what about Oath Keepers?
But we also use cops
How many Oath Keepers are there? I don't know,
but the group exists.
There are individuals like Brad Rogers. There are people who are in who are in Oath Keepers who understand and take seriously their oath of office. And you're painting with a broad brush like you usually do when you're on We Are Libertarians, and we get much hate mail afterwards.
You are speaking like a collectivist. For every instance you give me of a cop going over the line, I could probably give you an instance of a cop being a good guy and not going over the line.
But see, you're missing the point where I'm coming from. Is I disagree with police on a very fundamental basis.
No, I absolutely understand what you're saying.
They have special privileges, and they're not treated like normal citizens, and they get paid with my stolen income.
But in defense of your philosophical grounding on police existing by means of force through taxation or whatever grounds you want to come from, you're defending it with examples that I think you're making argumentative fallacies in defense of your philosophy. I think you are trying to paint cops as villains in general in order to support your philosophy, when in reality, many cops are good people. They're average Joes. They have families, they have kids, and they treat their communities perfectly fine. I've been pulled over before. The cop was a nice guy. 100%. I was speeding.
I mean, the amount of, you know, there are, it doesn't get reported on, it doesn't get talked about a lot of times because they don't want to. When they see people in need, they will put together their money and they will help that person who's in need.
I mean, instead of
sitting here and going, and as the libertarian movement saying, F cops, they're all a bunch of pigs, and bashing them, when the S hits the fan, wouldn't you rather have those people be sympathetic towards your views because you've talked with them? We met with Pete Ayer. Don't shake your head at me, because you've met Pete Ayer from Cop Block, just like I did. And I said to Pete, the police in Keene, New Hampshire must hate your guts. You guys torture the police. And he said, no, absolutely not. They all the rank and file guys, they love us because we take them out to coffee. We share our point of view. We come to an understanding with each other. They like us. And in fact, several of the police officers have quit and gotten other jobs because we have converted them. Not because we confront them in an angry, bitter way, but because we explain our points of view because they're actually kind of curious about it. Occupy Wall Street. There were several Occupy Wall Street people at that meeting. They said the same reaction. Those folks who were at Occupy Wall Street, you think would be, you know, oh, it's, you know, you're just a bunch of pigs and all that kind of crap. Said no, they were there. They were asking us questions. They were engaging us in dialogue. They want to know more. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to engage them in dialogue as opposed to being hostile towards them.
Oh, I've engaged plenty of cops in a very nice manner, and like I've said before, but I see cops no different than IRS agents, than most politicians, and soldiers. They're just doing their job, yes. They're just normal people, and they can be just awesome good people, and they can use my stolen money to donate to causes and everything else. But what they're doing is still an aggression against me, and I don't care how big of a smile they have on their face when they do it. They're still aggressing against me, and they're interfering with my ability to live justly and freely. Period. All of them. No, but right? All government employees.
Your alternative is to withdraw from the state and go to anywhere else in the world that has a larger state than we do.
Lack of police landia.
Yeah,
that's where you can move to.
And I'm not that person that's going to say, oh, we'll move to Somalia. They don't have laws.
So
I hate that
I'm
person.
I'm the bad I'm saying, guy for disagreeing with aggression and force and a monopolization of force?
No.
I'm the bad guy?
No.
You're not going to win the argument.
Just because I'm not kissing the police's ass?
That's
no, but
not at all
there
what
are
we're
some
saying.
Good
but
ones,
as voluntarists, you have choice. If you don't like it, you can leave.
No. That's not a choice.
Of course it is.
That's enforcement. I shouldn't have to leave my own property and land and destroy my life because other people are aggressing against me.
No,
go to Somalia.
No, I'm
not one of those people.
I understand what you're trying to say. I know the argument that the police exist only by means of aggression because they are funded by taxation, at least at the base level. I'm sure there's other types of aggression people have found for the existence of the police. I understand that argument. But it comes down to the what are you going to do about it thing. Are we going to go around or are we going to, you know, just start screaming at every single cop and say that you're evil because your job exists as parasitic off of my life? No, I mean, you can do that, but you're going to be one man yelling at one man, one woman yelling in the darkness at something and saying that this is wrong, and no one's going to pay attention to you because you just come off as an asshole.
Instead of opening up people's minds because you know we're dealing with the notion where you're having a tough time convincing a room of people that agree with you because of the way you're presenting the argument.
Antonio Bueller.
I don't know who
all
that is.
I have to say. You don't know who Antonio Bueller is?
No.
The founder of Peaceful Street
Project?
Didn't he have a day off?
All right. Let's go. Hold on. Google that. Gina, final thoughts on this topic, and then I'll ask another question of the group.
What was the topic? Was it the Boston topic in general? Final thoughts?
ACAB.
The cops. And general search and seizure. Anything that you didn't get to say?
There were a thousand things I didn't get to say, but basically I feel
only
like...
We have an hour.
All right. Well done, gentlemen. Well done.
Thank you.
Yes, if you want to get your input in on this podcast, do not be afraid to just jump in and cut everybody off.
And we know you aren't. That's why we invited you on. That's why Greg worked out so well. He's like, dadalop, dadalop, my name is Greg Liddens, and I'm here to tell you exactly what I think.
Hey, we have an hour.
Right. All right, so they catch the alleged terrorist, the alleged jihadist. Let's make sure we point out that he's Muslim, right, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was fun.
Sorry.
That one was just to tweak Gina a little bit.
That was fun, though.
That was just to rile Gina up.
It's like, we should have made it a drinking game. How many times can we hear them call him, maybe he's a Muslim, before they ever had any proof?
Oh. Dude, I turned on Fox News. I watched on Friday, I probably watched 18 hours of CNN.
You know, they probably put a guy on the case that find the Muslim link. They're like, just gave him a job. Find the link and show it to us.
I think they went through the video and looked for the brownest-ish looking
guy. Well, that's pretty much what Reddit did. That's what Reddit and 4chan did. Now, I'm going to mute you, so wave at me when you want to talk because you're a little rustly. Do you know what watching 18 hours of CNN does to a person? I still haven't recovered. And so I turned on Fox News for 30 seconds just to see what was up with Fox. They had an ex-CIA operative. Well, clearly, Michelle, this is definitely a case of Putin. He's probably using the Chechens to infiltrate everything because we all know that Putin hates Christians and they're here to persecute them, and the majority of the people blown up were Christian.
That's clearly moronic.
It's Fox News. Did you not hear the preface?
I say that's actually better put together than Alex Jones's stuff. So.
I was like,
did they really have somebody on the
Yes,
say that?
He said that. I was like,
that is a little bit low for Fox News.
So some 75.
No, that's like par. My stupid.
I watched Fox News. That was a little bit.
I saw Putin
trying to get Christians. That's a little.
No. There's a clip on my Facebook. If we're friends, you should check it out. There, I forget who it was. Literally inciting. He compared the Obamas to Marie Antoinette. And made reference to them losing their heads and stating, let them eat cake. Because they went to a bleeping concert. They were at a benefit concert. And there were things going on in the world where they should have had their attention focused elsewhere. Ergo, they were being bourgeoisie and announcing, let them eat cake.
Yeah,
and
but that's
literally
sort of
made reference to them losing their heads.
That's...
Now, I'm sorry. That's... As far
it's
as
a 24
hour
news cycle.
But
I mean,
that is the Twitchification, the Malkanization of our news cycle, where we need to try and manufacture crises when there are none, instead of talking about the real crises.
MSNBC is just as bad as Fox News.
So, anyways, my point was Roger Ailes gave that guy a raise. And I turned back on CNN because he managed to make my 78-year-old grandparents say, that's right, this is the Cold War and they're persecuting Christians.
Putin and robots.
Haven't gone to church in 50 years, but damn that culture war. So they catch the alleged terrorist and they snatch him up. They take him to the hospital. And I see on Twitter about 10 minutes after that he's caught, CBS is the first to report he's not being Mirandized. The Supreme Court ruling says the person in custody must, prior to interrogation, be clearly informed that he or she has the right to remain silent and that anything the person says will be used against that person in court. The person must be clearly informed that he or she has the right to consult with an attorney and to have that attorney present during questioning, and that if he or she is indigent, an attorney will be provided at no cost to represent him or her. Okay, that is the basics of the Miranda ruling.
It's from Miranda versus
State of Florida versus Miranda.
Yeah. And so the reason the court ruled is that they found that these are basic rights. That's why they're called the Miranda rights. It was a case where the Supreme Court was reminding local law enforcement and the government, essentially, that there are rights that you must respect no matter what for American citizens. And this person, the terrorist, was not Mirandized.
And the reason
so explain why.
The reason why is they were saying it was a public safety exemption. Now, a quick history of that, I was reading up on it, is the reason that they even had this exemption in the first place was because of a rape case. I don't remember where it happened. But this guy was caught. And because he was raping people, and I guess they either caught him on the way to do it or they stopped him doing it. I don't remember exactly, but they had reason to suspect that he had a weapon, they had reason to suspect he had a weapon hidden somewhere, and they found that it was of public safety for him to tell them where that weapon was. So before they could, before they were reminded him that he had the right to not say anything, they found that they didn't have to do it until he told us where the gun was. Because the gun is out there and it could be used, killed people, whatever. So the public safety, that was original. That was back in like the 80s, though. So over time, of course, with the war on terror, it has been manipulated into basically being, you know, if you're a terrorist, then it's public safety exemption for you to not have Miranda rights.
I don't even think you should be Mirandized. Be perfectly honest. Steven,
waterboarding.
That's not why. Okay. We already have the evidence. There's a video that hasn't been released yet that shows him planting the bomb in Boston. We don't need anything he says to convict him.
So you don't think he should have been interrogated?
Oh, no, I do. I think he should be interrogated.
If he's interrogated, he has to be Mirandized, period.
No, he doesn't.
There's no way around that.
There is. He can be interrogated, but nothing he says can be introduced in the case against him. So what I say is we find out what he knows, find out who he was working with, never Mirandize him. The case is already made. he's going away forever, or he's getting the death penalty.
No, he's getting off. He's walking scot-free because he didn't receive his Miranda rights.
Never will happen.
No, that's true. If he does not have read his Miranda rights,
whatever
they pull out of him after they don't read it to him, or at least until they do read it to him later, is not admissible in court. That doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, all the evidence, like you said, if they have objective evidence that is irrelevant to whether or not they asked him questions, they can still use that. So that is, I disagree with that just because I don't think that we should start making exceptions for any reason at all. I think that Miranda rights these are one of the things that we need to be staunch on. Everybody gets it no matter what, because
to kind of concur with Greg, I think one of the reasons that analysts are saying that he didn't get his Miranda rights read is because they don't really care. If he comes out and he says, I did it, I shot the guy in the face, then I run over my brother's head with a car, they don't care because they have such a rock-solid evidence that they don't even need that anymore because they have, in their view, such a good case. But you're going to see... could you imagine if this guy gets off because he wasn't Mirandized and he walks free?
If that happens, then they can always raise the case that he committed treason. I talked about it with you guys in chat. I think there's a case to be made that his American citizenship isn't valid.
He became an American citizen on 9/11 of last year, so he's been an American citizen for a little bit over a year.
He's been less than a year.
Oh, so like 9/11 2012.
Yep, he has been for less than a year. And if you are found, and the burden of proof is not on the state. The burden of proof is to show that if he's accused of this, he has to show that he had not been in contact with Al-Qaeda, that he had not been radicalized. If he has been, his citizenship is invalid, and therefore he's an enemy combatant. We can put him in Guantanamo forever.
Let's just say, as of this podcast recording, they have not done that. They are not treating him as an enemy combatant. They are trying him under civilian courts.
And the White House came out today and reaffirmed that. So let's deal with the Miranda before we go on to talk about their citizenship and their background a little bit.
What I was trying to say is the way I look at it is Miranda rights are, you know, the same argument that Greg's making could be made for, let's say, that, you know, a person has intelligence to other terrorist organization in his home, and they don't want to go through the troubles of getting a warrant to go into his house, because they need to get that stuff now. They don't care about introducing it into a case later, because they just need to get the information. So they just go into his house without a warrant, they get the stuff, it's irrelevant to the case they have against him, and it's not going to make or break their case at all, so they don't care. The guy still gets off, gets convicted, whatever. They don't care. They just wanted the stuff. That is essentially the same lines of what you're saying with Miranda rights, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. The only problem I have with that is that the Fourth Amendment wasn't just there so that this can protect your, you know, if you have, you know, bad stuff in your house and they get it without a warrant, then you're not going to go to jail. That wasn't the point of it. The point of the Fourth Amendment was to keep them out of your house to begin with. So I think the point of the Miranda rights, which isn't in the Constitution, it's set by precedent through Supreme Court law, but nevertheless, it reaffirms the spirit of the Constitution, or the Bill of Rights at least, in that, you know, these are things that you have regardless, and just because, you know, these are things that should be reaffirmed immediately because they are a little bit more important than intelligence. I think I'm just, when it comes to these kind of things, when it comes to civil liberties, I fall on the side of being a stubborn asshole about it and saying, you know, there are no exceptions that we can make to these fundamental rights that we get, like the Fourth Amendment or your right to a trial, all these things. I fall on the side of being incredibly stubborn about that and say no exception, period.
I believe that they're Miranda rights, that these are things that exist without the government saying that they need to say them to you. And as an American citizen, whether you think he's a citizen or not a citizen, he has crossed that threshold. We maybe should not have made him a citizen, but we did it. Oh, well. It's too late, and you don't start setting precedents that you can play with that sort of thing. Hold on a second. Go ahead.
Let's just to make the hardliners happy. I would agree that citizens shouldn't be the make or break designation of whether or not you get these rights. I know there are plenty of people out there who are going to yell when they hear that we're only talking about citizens. Doesn't anyone who's a human get these rights? I would agree. Yes. So there you go.
Hold on. Let me finish my point, and then we're going to go to Gina and then Maya. The bottom line is, you know, there are two very similar cases. There's this Boston bombing, and there is the Boston massacre when John Adams defended. And I'm going there, But it's true. I mean, John Adams was absolutely killed in the public square for defending the Redcoats when they shot into not literally killed, but he was absolutely
villainized.
Yeah, he was villainized, and he said, "I had no hesitation in answering that counsel ought to be the very last thing that an accused person should want in a free country." Every person, you know, he made it very clear that it's, if you're going to have a free society, every person should have fair legal counsel without case. So
did
Gina,
he do that when he passed the Alien and Sedition Acts?
Oh, yeah,
everybody became a bad politician when they became president, even Thomas Jefferson.
All right, yeah. let's give our guest a chance to talk. Gina, fire away. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on this are, as you said, he is being treated as an American citizen. He is an American citizen. Ergo, any and every liberty that we strip away from him on account of he is a dirty terrorist or an alleged dirty terrorist is one that we're taking from ourselves, no matter how you 100%. Want to look at it. If we are going to set back and say, I hope they don't read him his damn Miranda rights, you're saying, I hope that they don't read me my damn Miranda rights. As far as I'm concerned, if a police officer reaches for the handcuffs, if he's got silver bracelets for you, the words, you are under arrest, you have the right to remain silent, ... had better be coming out of his mouth, or he's putting you, or I guess putting the case at risk in a court of law. I understand that these were very high charge circumstances. Let's pull out the tanks, the SWAT team, and the FBI and go door to door ripping people out of their homes to find this gentleman. But the moment that you found him and the moment that you approached him with your weapon drawn, your job was to do your job. Grab the bracelets, tell him he's under arrest, explain to him what his rights are, stick his ass in the back of a squad car.
Right. Maya is actually a former law enforcement officer. You were military police?
Security forces. So security, I did security forces. And law enforcement.
All of us in the face.
Yeah, Maya looks miserable, but that's just because she's around other people. Maya, what are your thoughts on the Mirandization of...
The way I see it is the courts are here to serve justice and bring down justice. The cops are there to do law enforcement. So if you're breaking the law, they bring you to the courts. The courts serve the justice. We have increasingly, since I'd say probably the 80s and really a lot of the kicking up of the drug war, that we have changed that, where the cops get to serve a little bit of their justice when they beat the crap out of people and they, you know, hit people with cars and shoot people and tase them. But beyond that, that's how we look, how we're seeing this Miranda thing, is courts are to serve justice. The Miranda rights is to help protect those people till justice is properly served, to the letter of the law, through the courts. And it is. It's absolutely pathetic that they're not going to Mirandize this guy. I don't care how long he's been a citizen or not. And it is a good discussion on, do we treat everyone equally because they're humans or only because they're Americans? I thought, you know, we were in a country that kind of wanted to stop treating people in different classes and groups and no racism, sexism, but American versus non-American. Isn't that just another label?
You totally said American, and I know everybody listening heard it. Gina, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I agree with most of what she said. To be honest with you, it's sad to me that, because I know the history of the case. The reason that we have the Miranda rights is because of an indigent man who was barely literate, who would just speak because it was a friend of his in a very small town was the arresting officer and just told him everything that he had done, literally, having no idea that he was entitled to an attorney under the Constitution. So it was as a result of him being basically incarcerated time after time after time over petty offenses that the Supreme Court ruled that, yes, every citizen needs to be informed of their basic rights. But whether or not those rights are read, they have those rights. It's simply paramount that an officer of the law, when placing a citizen or even an alien, it can be a foreigner, they still need to be told that while they are on this soil, they have certain rights. Because in the event that you and I were traveling abroad, we would have to follow the rules of wherever. When in Rome, do as the Romans.
Right.
We would be under their penalties and their laws. And if we don't know their constitution, we certainly want one of their officers to let us know. So it's the same case. Citizen or not citizen, he deserved his Miranda rights.
Greg?
I don't personally care that he's been not been. I mean, his Miranda rights are protected. So anything he says right now, because of the precedent of Miranda, can't be admitted in court. Can't be used against him. Cannot be issued. So what I want to know is why, what his motive was. If there is a benefit by not reading him his Miranda rights because of that, that he can reveal maybe he has information. Probably he doesn't, but he might. To me, it is worth the breaking the eggs of small government and constitutionality are worth the omelet of protecting people going forward and finding out information that could stop another kid getting blown up at a marathon to honor the victims of Sandy Hook. That was the purpose of the Boston Marathon. I am just livid about it, so sure. I don't care.
Creighton, last thoughts.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, to ones who maybe not aren't even looking at it like Greg is and looking at it more fundamental, like this guy was just bad and he shouldn't get Miranda rights because he's bad and I say so. I mean, we gotta remember not to try. We can't live in a culture of fear, because really what this is it comes down to a culture of fear. We have been so afraid for so long of terrorism, and a lot of it's on the blame of the media, but a lot of it's the blame of us. I mean, we have built this, you know, these walls around our country, and we are, you know, mortified whenever something even remotely close to comes happening in the United States. And I mean, if it's like gang related, then it doesn't bother us. But it's like the culture around terrorism, you know, political terrorism, Islamic terrorism, any kind of terrorism. We have scared ourselves into saying that we don't want to have all of these protections that people died for centuries because we're scared. And I think that's something that people need to figure out, you know, just honestly, just grow a pair of nuts and realize the world isn't safe and these things are more important than your peace of mind. And, you know, quit giving up these things that are, you know, steps forward in the history of man because you're afraid when you walk down the street. I mean, get over it.
So let me ask you this, everybody. What do we do about it? I contend that you don't really do anything. And I know that that sounds totally counterintuitive because, well, we need to start checking people when they go into sporting events. We need to limit the amount of black powder that you can buy. We need to do this. We need to make sure this never happens again so we never see that flag lowered at half-mast.
You can't stop something like this from ever happening again.
Like I said last week, my first thought was just live with it because this is as through our lifetime, for the rest of our lifetime. Let's say Rand Paul gets elected. Poor Creighton. Creighton wouldn't know what to do with himself. Rand Paul gets elected, and he pulls out... Maya, that was... Wow. Gina, you fit right in. If you're listening, you need to go to the YouTube channel, because Maya and Gina are on the couch with me in the YouTube channel, and you need to see what they just did. That was fascinating.
Jazz hands.
So
you're not allowed to support a politician on this podcast.
I stand with you because he out liberals Obama on foreign policy and he's out Republicans any GOP member on fiscal policy.
So he pulls us out of all 170 some countries. We come back. I don't think that terrorism would stop, that attacks wouldn't continue to happen here in the United States. I would think that because of the long-lasting effects of how long we've been in other countries, these attacks are never going to go away. That's why you have to have good law enforcement to prevent you have to have good techniques to prevent these sorts of things. Maya, just stop.
But you got to hold them accountable, and that's where cop block comes in.
Exactly. Thank you.
The police aren't ever, ever good at preventing anything. No, seriously, you think about it.
That's why Faisal Shahzad blew up the Times. You're just wrong.
Well,
Today in Canada.
No, think
about it. The Mounties with the hats on the horses stopped the terrorist attack
from hitting New York.
Let's make a distinction for Maya. I would say that there's a difference between like CIA intelligence gathering versus, you know, law enforcement on the street. I think CIA intelligence gathering is what stopped a lot of these terrorist
NSA,
attacks.
NSA, FBI.
Yes,
that. Like
law
that.
Enforcement responds. They're first responders and they're called that because when you get attacked, you call the cops and then they come and help fix your stab wound.
Prevention is on the part of intelligence. I'd say enforcement's on the part of.
I'm just not going to defend things like stopping the underwear bomber or stopping Faisal Shazad in the Times Square bombing.
But wouldn't you rather
have those attacks being prevented? I mean,
300 million people helping prevent attacks like that instead of just a handful of high-paid patsies?
Of course, but I'm not going to call them high. Just stop it. All right, I'm going to come over
Plus,
there.
Plus, it's unrealistic. Americans don't even vote at more than 50% max.
Should just put more money into law enforcement.
That's
our solution to a lot of things.
You're talking about a world where we have 100 years to get to a place where you're at. Okay, period. You want 330 million people stopping attacks. I do too. We want the same exact destination point, but we're dealing with the reality as it is right now. And the reality is that our government is on 170-some countries and is engaged in several wars where we're not welcome. And that's why we're attacked. So what do you do? Do you just...
What do you do?
Help.
If they're the perpetrators, what do you do?
Oh, I know what you do.
Dismantle the government.
No. No. This is way...
So you're asking what should the response be to the bombing, or just how should foreign policy change or not change as a result of
anything?
The bombing?
What if you're sitting there? What is the Creighton Harrington plan for stopping terrorist attacks?
Well, I think Greg was going to say something first.
Well, I said what I would do is one, pull everybody out of Afghanistan. I would bring everyone out of Iraq. I mean, I don't know how many are left in Iraq, but there's still some forces there.
Contractors.
I think yep. 50,000.
Get them out of there. Everyone out of there. I would recognize a Palestinian state. I would say, listen. We're going to have...
You just started a war.
Take our jobs.
The freaking Republican just went so hardcore libertarian.
No, I'm saying I would.
Just recognize the Palestinian state.
I would recognize the Palestinian state, and I would issue... I wrote it yesterday. I would issue a stern warning. If one American...
He's going to go very libertarian, then he's going to go very...
I do, because it is... I will follow the non-aggression principle, and I look at it from a nationalist perspective. I do not look at it from a humanities perspective. I will follow this. I know.
I don't look at it like...
No, it gets better.
I don't look like humans. A human's perspective. Yeah. I look at it like America.
I do. I don't apologize for it at all.
Deep, yeah.
All right.
Statist.
I am. Glad, proudly. The point is, if any American was harmed, if we are attacked again after complying with your demands, I would be like the Romans, and I would wipe... The Muslim, I would make it. I would make missiles and drones block out the sky. No joke. It would
Our
be like Arab history was gone.
And you're not a libertarian.
I know. I don't think that violates
You're not even a decent human being.
I'm not.
You are a piece of absolute. I'm not going to say the word.
I am.
We're America, not quite 300 years
them
old.
Them damn Muslims.
Middle
them
East?
Damn camel
Sorry
jockeys.
About
we need to blow them all up and turn all the sand castles into. Glass castle.
No, but if moderate Muslims will not turn... This is a very small sect of Sunni Muslims.
Okay.
Al-Qaeda is
what about
extremely...
Christians? What about Christians?
What it,
Are
which,
we going to bomb
Bill
Christians?
Maher said last yeah. on Saturday night, Christianity doesn't go around thinking a theocratic state is going to happen and trying to make it happen. They absolutely
they don't.
Do not.
They don't.
You're no, right. some do.
You
no,
just
some
got,
do, but no, you know what?
No. That couch just got liberaled by this couch.
No. Time out. Greg,
the Vatican.
Greg is not... Greg, what are you talking about? The Vatican is
a principality.
It's mm-hmm. a yeah.
It's got no army. It's got the Swiss Guard
it's
turned
got nothing,
up toes.
No political grounds whatsoever.
It doesn't.
No.
Is
Continue.
Islamic theocrats want to make... They want to make governments... Across the world,
it is called the caliphate.
B is
B it is
Islamic.
Called the caliphate.
It's called the caliphate.
That, they're not looking at it from like the Vatican being its own state. They're looking at it, you know, Islam. The Quran literally becomes the government. Mm-hmm. You know, literally like you know you. Can't
it's called
it.
Sharia law. Is what yes. you're talking about. That's fine. Sharia, you could have just said that.
Yes, but
so what's wrong with that? How come we haven't gone after England and promoted them crimes for what they've done
out,
to the world or
out.
What we're doing to the
we're,
world?
You're changing the subject a little bit. You mentioned
we
mentioned,
kicked England's.
You mentioned Christians
at Yorktown
as an example of you know what
Greg's
about
to
you said.
Throw
you said
something.
What about Christians? I think we're making the point that it's impossible to deny in today's world that in a percentage basis or an absolute basis, the amount of violent crimes committed on the part of Christians for Christian reasons versus Islamists for Islamic reasons, it's not even close. It's not even the same ballpark.
So just because they have there's technically more quote-unquote Muslims or people that identify as Muslims doing violent crimes, that gives us a better right to go after and slaughter a group of people than it does just because there's a less Christians or self-identified Christians doing that thing.
He's trying to make the point to say that there is a group that they are a minority.
They're the fanatics, but there is no Christian, even remotely close, no Christian group remotely close to what the Al-Qaeda operatives are, to what Wahhabists are, to what in the Twelvers and Shia.
Al-Qaeda. Wait, hold on. Which Al-Qaeda are you talking about? The ones we're fighting with or the ones we're fighting against?
The ones that attacked
us at the
Boston Marathon.
The ones that we started? The ones that we funded and trained?
What about the ones that attacked us in Oklahoma City? What were they?
That was a domestic terrorist.
Yeah,
Christians, right.
Let's stop arguing Christians. Hold on. Everybody.
That's what this war is, though.
This is an important distinction.
Here we go. Let's stop arguing Christians versus Muslims, because that's a stupid apples-to-oranges comparison. But right, okay, so Maya, make that point then. Go ahead.
I was just attacking Greg and his stance for basically going, I hate these dirty camel jockeys because of their
belief
system.
He didn't say that.
And, oh, well, okay, I hate these dirty Muslims.
He didn't say dirty.
I hate Al-Qaeda.
It is unfair. Hold on. It's unfair of you to sit there and apply some sort of bigotry to his statement when he had no bigotry at all couched.
I'll reverse it.
No,
he says he extremely dislikes a group of a particular religious sect of people that happen to live in a geographical region that are different from him, and he would be okay with them being wiped off the face of the planet.
Their version of history ends with a caliphate where they act aggressively towards the rest of the world. They are hell-bent on bringing that about. I guarantee you, when all the snow clears, this will have been driven by Al-Qaeda. Guaranteed.
Are you talking about every Muslim on the planet, Greg?
No, I'm talking about the smallest sect of Sunni Muslims.
I guarantee you, Fox News will say you're right.
The smallest sect of Sunni Muslims. Al-Qaeda was inspired. Osama bin Laden is a member of the Saudi royal family. When Iraq invaded Kuwait.
He's dead now.
Hold on. Let him finish.
When Iraq invaded Kuwait.
Rachel Maddow.
The head of the Saudi royal family had two choices. He could accept the United States' offer to come in and protect the Saudi oil fields and give them sovereignty back of their state from Saddam Hussein. Or Osama bin Laden said no. He said, let me raise an Arab army and we will defend our own homeland. The head of the Saudi royal family chose U.S. That's when Osama bin Laden defected. That is what this all goes back to. He went radical. He started reading the writings of a guy named Saeed Qutb. He started Qutbism. That's what influenced all of Al-Qaeda's beliefs. Jihadism had never been a part of the Muslim religion until Saeed Qutb. And then they decided that global jihadism was what they were going to pursue. We were infringing on their land. We were desecrating their soil. We were invited. We gave you the state back. Is it better to be under Saddam Hussein, a Shia Muslim, than it is to be an invited guest?
But we also fulfilled one of Osama's predictions, which is that when the Americans come into your country, the Americans will never leave, and we have three bases there. And that was also one of the reasons. That was also one of the reasons he declared war on us. What are you saying, Maya?
Germany, Japan, the rest of the world.
And
we've
that
done
was his
the
point.
Same.
And
thing.
And I'm saying my policy would be to bring everyone home. I will comply with your demands.
I will
not attack you unless if you harm one hair on an American's head.
So hold on.
I will end your civilization forever.
Let me clarify. Okay, if there's one person that happens to maybe have been born in a geographical region that's considered a country, and he is considering himself a part of a certain religion, and he harms an American, what's your response to that?
I would approach the Muslim world, and I'd say, you have the same problems we have. We have extremists that we can't control. We both, as a society, have to work together to expose those people, or we don't care about humanity. If you continue to allow it, if you continue to not strike those people down, we will do it on your behalf, and you may be a casualty of war.
I think that's the main point that I've been trying to, you know, get in here and say, is that as a result of that policy that he's trying to say, is that, you know, a lot of the Muslim world that is not radical Islam, that is not Al-Qaeda, also is almost passive to it to an extent. I mean, they don't necessarily abet it directly, but they abet it indirectly through being passive. Now, this, saying that, like, let's say that there was some radical, you know, neo-nationalist group in Russia or something that was, you know, that was trying to nuke some other country, and, you know, they start doing terrorist attacks, and then Russia is, we say to Russia, you know, help us get this guy. And if Russia doesn't, and this group keeps doing their stuff, I mean, to an extent, you know, saying if you don't, if they, we're going to abet you, Russia, we're going to abet all these other people. If you do something again, we're going to really hurt you. It might be an incentive for Russia to start saying, okay, we'll help you get this.
Proportional response is the dumbest idea that has ever happened in foreign policy. All it did was make it the cost of doing business of war. It made it a transaction. You take out my intelligence system, I take out one of your Air Force bases. It is crazy. What happened? When Truman dropped two bombs on Japan, they haven't been imperialists since.
Say, let's not forget that he dropped those on Japan so that Russia would see what happened.
Yes, yeah. But ended the war, and
which
they
ended
have
up
not
being a really great idea for the world. Really, thanks. Little fat kid now has nuclear weapons.
I'm appalled at your complete lack of caring towards innocent life or people that maybe are little farmers or live in small villages. And don't want to fight the crazy warlords and the crazy Al-Qaeda terrorists in their own towns. I mean, look at America. Look at our fat society where we wouldn't even move, budge
I think
to help someone bleeding in the street.
That's,
or if there's a crazy
so
goddamn or something.
That's not true.
You're
look
so
at all the help that happened.
No, if you were to let me finish the statement,
no.
I would have said if there was a crazy gunman running around and you were told by the big police that there's a crazy gunman and there's somebody else in the street bleeding, you wouldn't leave your house.
That's not true.
You wouldn't if they came through with an armored vehicle and a bunch of weapons and told you to stay still is what we got out of.
Everyone in Boston hid in their homes like scared cowards
over
and listened to every order they had. Over a 19-year-old kid, if that guy would have been allowed to leave his house and maybe if people weren't so afraid of things,
right.
He could have gone and found
the
them.
LAPD shot people. Why wouldn't I be afraid of police?
Shoot back!
Okay. All right.
It's that, but it's not.
I did not say
this
that.
This is the most explosive we are libertarians.
Not true, though. It's not true to say that, you know, Americans are just passies that let the police walk all over them, and they're passies, and they don't care about people. Look at what happened. Look at what happened to at the marathon. I mean,
I said I put context to that statement. If there's someone bleeding the street, you can guarantee we'd all run there and help them. But if there was some scary boogeyman out there, or if there was something bad going on, we would hide. Like cowards, because that's the American way.
You know it isn't. They took down United 93. They were headed for Washington D.C. and those people fought back. And
but
they
the other two planes were taken
9/11 arguments in this discussion
but
because
that,
we
that
were
is
not
a
on
valid
that flight.
Argument.
But we were not on that flight, and there is way too many unanswered.
Oh, don't even go down that route.
No.
Don't even go down that route.
Bleep you guys. Bleep you guys.
Don't even go all Galt on us.
Yes, please do not.
No, but
I'm sorry.
It's important.
You know
I do not buy that Americans are the kind of people that say there are people dying in the street, but because there's guys out there with guns, I'm not going to help. Because a lot of Americans don't think like you. They don't see the cops as enemies.
They're not going to go. They're not going to sit there and say these bad guys are going to hurt me if I go try and help this kid in the street, because they're saying these guys are out there and they're going to help me help the kid in the street. That's how people think. If you are assuming that because there are cops out in the street in their armored tanks and no one's going to help somebody who's hurt
and laying on the ground bleeding
because he's
I'm not saying the cops are the bad guys. I'm literally saying bad guys. You're adding cops into my context, which
aren't there. You mentioned this police state, you know, the tanks in the street is a reason that the people wouldn't go out of their house to help them.
That was on a different statement. You're combining things here. My statement was there's a guy in the street and there's other bad people out there. There's a gunman running around. We wouldn't go out. If there's cops out...
Oh, that's not true at all. It is not true at all that there are that people in America won't go out and help someone if there's a scary man around with a gun.
Virginia Tech, the campus, two students shot the gunman on top of the roof.
How many times do we hear in stories like Sandy Hook teachers trying to tackle people like this kid?
I mean, how many stories did you hear after Newtown of shootings getting stopped by the guy who had concealed carry permits? I mean, there are plenty examples of people stopping the bad guy without waiting for the cops. There are plenty of stories.
Right,
and
guy's a nuclear bomb, what's your intention?
I wouldn't even go that far as with the nuclear bomb. It's just that
person.
What was that? What was
when the bad guy's a nuclear bomb?
Because we got to this conversation by discussing the fact that we dropped a bomb.
I would
on
never say nuclear.
Japan.
That is way too humane.
No, but we
I
could kill
bombs. I would use missiles. All
right,
I
now
would
we
cause
kill
mass destruction.
Hold on.
That is way too humane.
Now you're.
I shut my own mic off. Now you're just trolling, Greg.
I'm not.
Okay, but to be clear, I don't think the appropriate response would be as Greg did. I mean, Greg can have that thought. I don't think that the response should be that if you do not help us find these people, then we're going to kill all of you.
I'm saying give us the information. I'm saying if you know that you have Al-Qaeda operatives that are operating in your community, don't you dare put yourself at risk. That would be a violation of your own rights. But what you can do is find, if there is any way possible, feed information through some channel that exists. Because if you really don't believe that they're representing your best interests either, if they are not a good representative of your religion and what you believe of humanity, then do something about it.
Yeah, but that's the that's the if you're not with us, you're against us argument. I mean, what your response would be then is to assume that if they're not helping you, then they're helping them, and therefore they're part of the enemy, and we have to kill them all.
No, not. I'm saying if it isn't, is it really that crazy to think that you can? How does the Central Intelligence get their information? They are fed information from people in the community.
Oh, absolutely.
Those people exist. I'm not saying you have every single person has
but
to do
it. Let's be clear. The reason that people started raising their arms and going rabble, rabble, rabble here is because you said if we pull out of all these countries and another attack happens, then we're going to black out the skies with missiles, which implies
which implies
collateral damage to people who may not be part of Al Qaeda.
And I'm not lying.
I probably should have conditioned that with we will.
Very accurate missiles.
Oh my god!
I'm really like I was really really upset by this. Like I was really emotionally torn up.
Seriously,
I should have conditioned that with very accurate missiles.
The whole rabble 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 thing literally happened. If you watch the YouTube channel, Gina and Maya literally rabbled.
I hate you.
It's true though.
It's only when your head flaps that I have a hard time understanding.
I'm not
you.
A damn Canadian.
Come on, guy.
I just want to say, let me preface this, and I hope there are a lot of people still listening, and I hope that...
what are we at right now?
We're at like a minute, an hour and 23 minutes. Oh. We do not hate Canadians at all. I do not hate Canadians. I have no issues with Canadians. I'm going to promote you. Yes, I promise, Maya. Maya has been texting me throughout the entire podcast. Make sure you promote me.
I'll promote. Her shows are great. I listen to both of them.
That's not what it's about. It's about something else. He's being a douche right now.
So we keep getting...
It's a bit. Canada stuff is a bit.
We keep getting tweets and emails and messages. We don't hate Canada. I even on Twitter today congratulated the guys with the big hats that ride the horses and wear the red coats.
It's a bit,
Dudley Do-Right. And they got the guy, and congratulations on good job.
But that does not mean we will not make fun of you in the future.
Yes, right.
We make fun
that
of
would be
everyone.
Racist.
We just focus on Canada
Listen,
a lot because they're so make funnable.
We love Paul Gable. Paul Gable is our friend. He's the man. But we're still going to, every episode, mention that he cannot be on the podcast.
I actually have a deep and undying love for... I'm going to say these words. Chris Galt. So if you hear me teasing him on every occasion
seriously.
That I get, know that it comes
that
from a place
taboo,
of love.
Can you go sit over there with mittens? And
no, but I can rub things on both of you.
Ooh.
All right. Well,
I'm like that.
Well,
now, there podcast... is a membership version. If you pay $9.95 a month, you can see what she was talking about.
So that
has... You pay $9.99 a month, and we might arrange that.
I don't even know what the hell just happened. This has been the most emotional...
The best effing show you've ever done.
Like, all of a sudden she's yelling out, Todd Beamer didn't do it, and he's yelling out, kill all the Muslims, and Maya's yelling out, I hate everybody! It's been
you know, to
quite
answer
a wild
your
ride.
Question, Spangle, what's the appropriate response? I think I would agree that nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
I would say that there is really nothing that we can do that's ever going to stop something like this from happening again. And I think the appropriate response would be to try this kid, convict him in a court of law, and either put him to death or put him in jail for life, depending on what the judge rules.
And fix our foreign policy. Real quick, Greg,
give,
and then we'll
the right thing to do is give him the full rights of American, read him his Miranda rights, do this thing correctly, set the standard for the world. I have beliefs of whether we can get information. That doesn't mean I only support that. I just wanted to make that point. But we can be the example.
Gina, what do we do?
Taking off of what both of you fine gentlemen just said, absolutely we should treat him as as we would want to be treated ourselves. So we should try him, and then if he is guilty, convict him, because we're all assuming that he is guilty, even though none of us can honestly say for certain that it happened. And as P.S., and religion's B.S. That's what I was going to say. It doesn't matter which religion it is. I'm not anti-Christian. I'm not anti-Muslim. I'm not anti-Islamic. I'm not anti... I could give a less if you worship the spaghetti god. But when the spaghetti god comes down and tells you to go blow something up, that's when we have issues. And it's your behavior that needs to be addressed, not your religion.
Yep.
It's your mental illness. Maya, what should we do to prevent future bombings? Everybody, I'm just going to turn the mics off and let Maya go.
What should we do to prevent further bombings? Well, you just find a direct cause. What's the cause of all the bombings? Direct cause of the bombings is, well, it's humans suck. So, well, I'm going to pretty much agree. I'm going to pretty much agree that we there's not a whole lot we can
policy, not your misanthrope character.
No, that's what I'm going to get to is that we can't do anything. We can't really proactively do anything. We can stop doing things that have caused some of this, but we can't do more and hope that we can solve anything. As a whole, we can, maybe as a more vigilant society, but beyond that, not really.
All right, Greg, let's talk a little bit about how we got here. You and I were having lunch before the state convention. I hate when my voice cracks. I was listening to a podcast from 2007 when I was on the radio. I was like, so, Abdul! So, let's talk
about... That's how you got Sam.
I know.
That beautiful voice of yours.
She's like, hey, how are you doing? So, how do you think that these two ended up where they're at? Let's talk a little bit about how they ended up being terrorists. You did some research and found some interesting facts on the older brother.
Yeah, the older brother, he was denied citizenship because of a battery charge in 2009, I believe. And he was kind of waiting. His citizenship was up in question. And he had been on quite a few different internet sites and on his YouTube channel that they haven't confirmed with 100% accuracy that it was his, it is his name, that he was talking with a Chechenian terrorist. And the Chechenian terrorist is the guy that's organizing this, essentially, in history, in the origins of Muslim history.
And let me correct you, was, because he was murdered at the end of December 2012.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Well, he wasn't murdered. He was killed by Russian Special Forces.
Killed by Russian Special Forces. But they were essentially trying to unite around this thing called the Army of Khorasan. Khorasan is, in history, it's modern-day Afghanistan, and one of the hadiths issued in Islam is that when you see the black banners of the Army of Khorasan, do whatever it takes to follow with them because they are invincible and they will lead you in the march against Jerusalem. Now that hadith has been, its authenticity has been questioned, but sects of Islam subscribe to it. That is what started Al-Qaeda. That's why their flag looks the way it does. There are two flags. There's the white with the black letters. There's the black with the white letters. But when I saw that video, everyone kept saying that it was an Al-Qaeda flag, and it wasn't. It's the flag of the Army of Khorasan. And so it's almost like there's a historical nature involved. And the guy's name is Tamerlane, and Tamerlane was an emperor in history who was one of the most awful human beings that's ever lived. Everything I've said before today that was egregious doesn't even remotely come close. This guy built kingdoms on top of the skulls of the people he killed.
He did all the stuff Maya wishes she could do.
Yes.
Will.
And then it's funny, the other brother, the one that we have in custody, is named after the first Muslim Chechen president that was a Soviet Air Force commander and was assassinated. And I just find there's so many historical things involved in this that I think it's naive to say that these were just two random actors who were isolated losers. I can't prove it yet, but what I really think happened is they were lonely, especially the older brother. He wrote in a social media update where he said he didn't have any American friends and didn't understand Americans. And I think he was looking for, I don't know if it was purpose or I don't know what exactly it was, but he found something that gave him purpose.
Over the last year, and this is according to CNN, so take it with a grain of salt, the person that you're talking about, the terrorist that you're talking about, I forget, it started with a D. I was in the dentist chair when I was watching this, so I was highly sedated. The older brother visited Chechnya, visited his father's village, and then visited his Chechenian you know, hometown, for lack of a better term, where his family was from in Chechnya. And this terrorist that you're talking about was actually in that town at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, you can't say that we know for sure that they met or anything like that, but there is some maybe linkage there, because people say that when he came back, he became a little more militant. He stopped looking any women in the eye. He became a little more – he just started
– He was very domineering. He was very aggressive in nature. And now it's starting – I just read that his mom, which I found crazy, is a cleric,
really?
A Muslim cleric. And, you know, traditionally people stereotype Islam as being very abusive towards women. Well, it's really only the Taliban and then the really hardcore fundamentalist sects. Women, I mean, they aren't, for American standards, I'm sorry, Gina, but I'm saying...
Not even a feminist,
women,
still.
Women are considered equal but different, but allow for her to be have a role in the church.
But again, you can't really, I mean, if you go to Iran... I mean, it's certainly changing now for the worse for women's rights, but in Iran, I mean, women are treated mostly as equals.
And those are
certainly not in the you know, the equality that Americans have achieved for the most part. So, but go ahead, Gina.
Yeah, no, go ahead though. It's just equality's not here. We had opportunities to ingrain equality into our Bill of Rights and our Constitution, and we've passed on it time and time again. So, to me, the government is sending a message that we choose not to acknowledge the division between men and women, and we choose not to protect that equality.
And we should talk about that on another show.
Listen, we let you on
this podcast is going to become 4 hours long if we go down the road
Never
mind. I'm not going to do that joke.
I only brought that up just because I think his mother has played the strongest role in maybe shaping his beliefs. Who knows? But it seems like that's where it would come from.
Oh, I just heard that.
Did you? Oh, that is a behind-the-scenes classic. That kind of hurt.
Sorry.
You're like 4'11", but you pack a mean punch.
You make that joke about five of our listeners are going to go.
Yeah, I know.
You're losing
not...
five women.
Yeah. The only women.
The only women we have. Samantha, please stay. All right, so the little brother. I mean, it does seem weird that he seems like your typical American kid, and then all of a sudden he's planting, you know, bombs. I mean, do you think maybe he was influenced by his older brother? I mean, what?
I thought like you that this was a case of him being strong-armed by his older brother, but then the actions he had after the bombing, you know, he went to classes and a party.
Yeah, he totally...
That's the psychopathic
I do
behavior.
Not understand how these two could just act normal like nothing happened afterwards.
Yep. I know. I've been wondering whether or not, you know, they had a plan to do another bombing, but, I mean, they could have went to... Maybe they didn't think they were going to get caught.
We're all assuming that they're guilty. I mean, there's...
Come on, Gina.
Oh, well, you
Spangle,
can't...
You're...
You like... can't call them a psychopath because they carried on with their daily lives afterwards.
Yeah,
it's no different than soldiers.
Normal people
or
would
cops.
Go to would
normal
go to,
people.
Would
normal
go to
people
Canada.
Like what? Like, because everyone's exactly the same when
like
it comes
a rational
to the face of violence,
like,
horrific events.
Like a rational person who killed a bunch of people.
Maybe sociopaths are better word. Unfeeling.
A person who was semi-rational would go to... that's what I'm saying. A person who was semi...
All right, hold on, one at a time,
a
Creighton.
Semi-rational person who was irrational enough to kill people but rational enough to understand that it was something wrong to do would go to Canada or something, because if they would have left Monday, they could have made it.
Sure.
No! If they had a purpose behind what they did, if they believed in what they were doing and they were accomplishing a goal, they're and don't attack me for this. I'm just using it as a freaking parallel in human psyche.
Then maybe you shouldn't.
They're no different.
Because we're gonna attack you.
They're no different than a cop shooting somebody in a heat of the moment. No different than soldiers following their orders and believing in their
they
military and their country.
Do you not?
So
do
how
you
are
not...
they not psychopath? Those military people come back and go to school.
A soldier has to have a certain ability to
psychotic mindset.
Yeah, but you don't think that. Hold on,
soldiers come back with PTSD.
All right, you don't think that. People who are police officers that shoot another person or a soldier who goes to war and sees the worst of war doesn't have some psychological impact in their lives. You
not
think
all
that they
of
just
them and not
wipe
everybody.
It off? Hold on. You don't just they just don't
I,
wipe
no,
it off
I didn't
and go
say it was everybody.
Lives?
I'm saying it's no different than some God. damn it, you people.
I think that if you are a soldier, you are able to compartmentalize that part of your life, your experiences.
Some people are.
And then still function on. And that's probably what they were, because they probably have had training. The older brother.
I don't think they did, though. My perspective is, I think the brother may have started to come around to what his brother believed, but I honestly totally believe the older brother was the brains of the operation, and he was the leader of his little brother.
He ran him over.
I don't...
Killed him.
Could
have been an accident.
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
Oops.
Honestly, the way I look at it is, I mean, just from what I've read and what I've seen, I feel like the older brother, it was his idea to do all this, and he, over time, was able to convince his younger brother that it was right, and his younger brother was on board. But... I don't think that they spent, you know, years. I know the little brother didn't. They don't even have a record of him going over there at all, do they? Since he was like, he came to U.S. when he was like, what, 9 years old? And since then he's been here?
Not sure. I mean, he's a pretty typical American kid, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, so
I mean, he can't spell on Twitter. That's how more, you can't get more American than not being able to spell rap lyrics on Twitter.
So, I mean, I don't think that they are like a plant from an Al-Qaeda faction overseas. I think that they were just two guys that got really into fundamental Islam, went crazy, and...
But then what about the attack today in Canada? That plane was handed for New York. I think this is coordinated. I think Al-Qaeda has changed how they're doing things. It's completely decentralized with training on how to do things, but the guidance is up to you. I think they have completely decentralized.
There was a point in the IRA when they were in the 80s when they were going after high-profile British targets. They killed one of Thatcher's cabinet members,
ministers.
And then at a certain point, they just started going after regular citizens and just going after any target they possibly could go after just to make a point. And maybe that's where we're getting. So... Well, this is probably going to be the show that goes down in history where we get the most hate mail. So,
Maya at CreatingMaya.com is where you can send it all.
Let me end my little thing with I don't hate Muslims.
No.
I don't have a problem with Islam. So don't if I gave that impression, I don't hate Muslims.
I disagree with the sentiment that your moderate Muslim doesn't speak out. It just doesn't get out there like it should. I remember, Greg and I went to Plainfield High School. And ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, is located in Plainfield, Indiana. And Plainfield, when we went to school there 10 years ago, was 98% white and 2% Muslim. And so we have a lot of Muslim friends. And it was amazing to me to see students on 9/11 and the months afterwards get bullied, for lack of a better term, or, you know, treated with bigotry by people that they had gone to grade school with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that were in our friend circle, that were in close friendships with Muslim kids, would come up to me and say, you know, they have nuclear weapons over there in the basement of ISNA. I mean, it was absolutely outrageous. And I remember Dr. Saeed, who was head of ISNA at that time, continually making the effort to go out after 9/11, educate people about Islam. I learned a ton about Islam from my friends who were Muslim, and they spoke out against what was taking place and explaining that it is a peaceful religion. And I know that you're going to post some crap on our wall from your stupid conservative conspiracy group. Oh, it's a peaceful religion. Look at this. And you'll put some dead body on it. You know what? F you.
Because it's one militant strain.
Really?
It's a militant Westboro Baptist church.
It's exactly right. So
a good example of what is of what Islam is in like in the good sense can be seen, I think, Malcolm X, you know, for much of his, you know, his career as being Malcolm X, he was outspoken. He was very anti-white. He was very angry at everybody. He goes to Mecca. He comes back, and he's chill, and he's peaceful. He says, everything I've been saying is wrong. This is not what we should believe in. And then he got assassinated.
If you go and, he got a...
But
his essay on the trip to Mecca is one of the best pieces of literature that you can ever read.
And I think the important thing to remember is that I think it would be more accurate to clarify that these, you know, Islamic fundamentalist groups, they're not really, I'd say, Islamic groups as much as they are political groups. They are political factions with a political axe to grind. they're not necessarily representative of Islam. Not just in the sense that they're a minority, but in the sense that Islam literally just doesn't teach that stuff.
It does. Every one of their I've been over the last 3 days just pouring through this. They have backing not from the scripture of the Quran, but from the Hadith.
Yes, but I think that from Muhammad's words, you could make the same argument that the Old Testament, you know.
No, it was redeemed in the New Testament.
I'm saying, on the part of like Jewish people, you could say that they support stoning women who are adulterous or wear two different types of clothes. I think over time they have accepted, you know, the rabbis, you know, explanations of these things as being as close to the word as possible, that this is what it means. I think the same thing's happened in Islam. You know, you've had these people through over time who have refined it to mean that, no, it doesn't mean go, you know, blow people up because they disagree with you or they don't believe in Allah.
No, it never said that. These sects, like Wahhabism, Salafis, or Salafism.
Mormons.
They got magic underpants to protect them from bullets. Maybe that's what we need, more Mormons. But
you're going to get your wish.
The reason these all arose is because the thought leaders in the Islamic Church saw a gradual softening. And so what they said was up until after a few centuries after Muhammad's death, Islam was pure. And these movements, these sects, are about taking it back to that time it was pure.
Right. These political movements are, and then we're going to go to Gina and Maya, and then we're going to
ending
for it's real this long. Time.
These political movements, like the Muslim Brotherhood and some of these, and I don't even want to say that's a radicalized group, but they're no different than Chavez and liberation theology and Castro and, you know, people like Chavez in Venezuela. The reason people like Chavez are in power or were in power is because there has been oppression from the West, and it is a way to instill national pride, you know, only in this case it's a religious pride. But it is a sort of national pride, which is where you get sort of the idea of the caliphate, that if we band together and we can fight the West and we can stop the oppression, you know, and there is a little bit of truth in the sarcasm that, oh, crap, I hope Chechnya doesn't have oil, you know, and we have been manipulating the Middle Eastern regions, predominantly Muslim regions, because they have resources that we want. And the radicalization of these areas is a lot of the reason that you see it in South America. We're going to stand up, defend ourselves, and we're going to fight. Listen, do I want Americans dying in the street? Absolutely not. But, I mean, in my opinion, that's why they radicalize, and that's why they organize in that manner.
But there is a fundamental difference. One's reasoning is backed in the writings of Karl Marx. Mm-hmm. The other one's is the divine word of their Jesus,
which makes
Christ.
It damn near impossible to argue to use against reason. Rational, right?
That, but with Marx, read Hoppe taking down his labor theory of value into discussion with a divine word of God, where you can't prove anything and it's completely based on faith. Reason has no role.
But I think it does, though. I mean, look at what reason did to the Christian Church during the Enlightenment period. I mean, it totally changed. I mean, you had movements towards a more rational line of Christian thinking. You had, redactions where they went kind of crazy. But at the same time, I mean, reason does have an effect. I think what we're facing is like Chris said, they are going to something that is more that unifies them, a religion that they all have, and people are using that for political ends. I think that the catalyst for all this is not the religion, but the politics that they live under, the politics of us messing with them, of other countries messing with them, of all these things. And I think the religion is used as a recruiting tool on the part of these people who have political axes to grind, and they are taking into their ranks to become radical terrorists, using religion as a medium to convert them, because it's just something that unites them all.
Gina?
At its root, every religion is a political body. That is the reason that they exist. They collect money. Now, when an individual joins a church or other religious group, they're doing so generally to follow some sort of doctrine that they agree with. However, once they are there, I apologize in advance. Please send your hate mail to once they are there and they have been ingrained with that indoctrination, essentially, they are then a puppet, and your ability to reason.
You're saying that every person, any person on the face, any person the face of the planet that has any kind of religious faith, has been indoctrinated and just is an idiot.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that every person that that can claim fundamentally on a very enthusiastic level and grab a pressure cooker and take to the streets to blow up cities in order to defend their religion has been thoroughly indoctrinated with some sort of politicized agenda.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that they don't represent the more accurate teachings of the religion itself. Yeah, I would say that, you know, when people who disagree with, you know, when people on, I guess, the more modern right would say that we have to, it's Islamic terrorism, and they want to make sure that everyone understands it's Islamic terrorism, they're using that word loaded to imply that the religion itself is what builds these terrorists and not other factors. Like that's when they got all up in arms over the Ground Zero Mosque, because it's an Islamic memorial on the grave of all these people it killed. It's like it's implying that Islam is the reason that they became terrorists and not the political circumstances of the world they lived in. And I think that's the difference that people need to understand, is it's not the religion itself, it's the world they come from, very much a world of violence, of hate, of war. They grow there. They live their entire lives with bombs going off right around the corner.
The
people who live in these underdeveloped countries.
One bomb go off. It took down three, maybe four people. Syria's having this happen on a daily, weekly basis.
No, it does, and that's what I'm saying. Those are the circumstances that make
people say, you know, you're welcome, United States.
No, those are the circumstances that cause people to become infuriated with us, and not the fact that their religion says that we're not Islamic, so they have to kill us. Which is, I think, something. I think that is a thought. I mean, we kind of may look at that and say, well, duh. But I think that's a thought that a lot of people still have nowadays, where they think that it's not really a war between people who are normal. It's a war between people who are just radical religious people, and they don't. It's their religion that makes them do it. So we just have to stop them because we can't. It's their religion, and I think that is a fallacy. I think it is a result of different circumstances.
All right, Maya, one more can of gasoline, and then we gotta go.
Basically, what I think it is, I think it's people like Greg. I think it's Muslim Gregs that see. No, seriously, I think I see it's people that are. You know, they see all the United States citizens and all the Westerners just sitting back watching their government kill their neighbors and blow up weddings and everything else. So they're like, well, if you Americans aren't going to stop your government from doing this, from stopping these terrorists from bombing us, we're going to kill you too. Maybe they weren't as clear as Greg was on that he don't want to necessarily kill a lot of innocent people. But I think they're just taking his basic thought philosophy and just applying it towards us from their point of view.
And if you take from the beginning of our conversation where we each sat here and thought, what the hell are we supposed to do? If the United States government declares a police state, what the F do we do? I mean, in theory, it is another person's perspective of actually what you could do if you had to in order to protect yourself from your government. Although in this case, it is 3/4 of the world. Feels
billion,
that way.
It's a billion people, yeah.
Right. And the term Islamic terrorist, I mean, honestly, what does that inspire? You get an image. Like you said, you pictured him with a turban. I mean, it literally, they have created a monster, an evil, a villain that is different than you, scary. Islamic terrorist.
All of this ignores, all of this ignores history, is that this strain, the leadership in Iran, the imams, the Shias, the Sunnis, the fundamental Sunnis, the Wahhabists in Saudi Arabia are trying to take Islam from its evolved position back to a more fundamental position. And the reason why is that it's not like Revelations for Christianity, where it's a very open-ended, like end times. For them, there are specific signs that happen. Al-Qaeda chose...
There are specific signs.
There's a creature coming out of the earth. There is the seals and the horns. But this is more concrete. This is when you see the black flags of Khorasan rising out of Afghanistan. But Osama bin Laden chose that flag for a very purposeful reason. They see the signs. They realize, they believe the Mahdi, their savior, is already on Earth. He's in occultation. He's in hiding until certain events happen. He will come back and install a caliphate. There is a book written by one of their preeminent scholars that says the Israeli state will end in 2022. I'm saying it's all crap. I'm saying Christianity's ideas are all crap. But I'm saying it's scary when you can't even... when I mean, 100 years, I hope the Islamic religion is goes back to where it was in Iran before we... went in there with BP and caused all those problems
in
but,
the 50s.
But we are really close to a scary place.
Well, I think that's an important point to make, is that it's like all this stuff that you're talking about happened after we started
only in Iran, and that's
them.
That's a different class of Muslim. In Saudi Arabia,
Shia.
They invited us. Yeah, they invited us.
In Saudi Arabia, they, well, the royal
but
family
they didn't invite us to colonize, which is no.
The royal
family. It wouldn't be a horrible thing to get a caliphate to go. One world government, basically, because we could do what we're trying to do with the Republican Party, just join it and change it from the inside, right?
Republican
Wouldn't
caliphate.
That be best?
I said you only had one more can of gasoline, Maya, and you used a second.
There's a little napalm. All right,
I know. All right, let's do our end of table. I think we can stretch this out into about 9 minutes and make it a two-hour show. Also, if you're listening and if you're Muslim...
Oh
a,
God, I'm sorry.
We apologize, and B, we'd love to have you on the show. So if you're in the Indy area and you can come sit in on the podcast and maybe enlighten us a little bit, that'd be cool. Greg, end of week roundtable. What did we miss? What didn't we cover? What didn't we talk about that you want to bring up?
I think we got it all. I really enjoyed it. Gina, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having
me. I can't wait to have you back. Maya, I always enjoy when you're on. I know.
don't
even though you hate me. I think I'm like in the top 100 of your favorite status.
Maybe.
Don't get happy.
Regardless, listen to her shows.
Don't get happy.
Don't forget CISPA. We don't have to talk about it here. We don't have time. But CISPA up for votes and whatnot. So call your senators. It already passed the House. And then I had something else. We didn't talk about the explosion again in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Texas, yeah. Not much of a political story there, except maybe zoning laws.
Yeah, we didn't
just keep your thoughts with them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do what you can.
Gina, anything that you'd like to mention on the show?
While we're declaring it a non-political issue, it totally was a political issue. I mean, it's not terrorism so much as capitalism, but there
oh,
were
man.
Safety.
You are that type of libertarian.
Oh,
that
I do
half
have something
our,
I wanted to add from earlier.
Half of our audience is sitting there going, oh my God, never have her on again. And then the other half is like, finally, someone that represents us, which is what we're all about.
I also wanted to mention that I was watching the news today, and what I was describing in the chat as far as the response to the immigration bill was all over the talking heads. Mm. All they were talking about was turning the immigration debate into how do we stop these kind of naturalized citizens from ever happening again.
Because so many of these naturalized citizens have done this.
Oh, I know, and man, did I hit the nail on the head or what.
I would run, but if I were a senator or in the House, I would run for the hills, and I'd be like, well, we'll take it up with the next president and let this die down.
I know,
so let me ask
like,
you.
Good Lord.
Let me
was,
ask you, Ms.
Yeah.
So
right.
Gina Martinez.
Yes, go ahead.
Let's talk about capitalism because...
No! Hold on.
This might not be that bad because I'm not anti-capitalism. It's just that in this particular situation, as I understand it, there were OSHA and certain safety requirements that were overlooked in favor of
and,
profits.
And yet...
Go ahead.
And yet, OSHA is responsible for inspecting them because we, as a nation, channeling Maya... have turned over safety of working conditions to the government through OSHA, and OSHA failed to inspect that particular plant in 5 years.
Just like
and
the
we,
as BP oil spill. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yet,
are they,
maybe,
so there's
are they
maybe
absolutely
let us...
clear that it was if that, that it was a fail, like there was something that OSHA could have caught that would have prevented this from happening?
Oh, or is
you
it,
can never be absolutely
well, I'm
fair,
just saying,
but...
because, I mean, it could just be a totally, like, a straw man. It
I understand.
Could be a
I understand your point, which is that, you know, you should care about the safety of your workers and,
right.
Oh, the 400 people that live around your plant, but it's unfair to blame capitalism when we've depended on the government to tell us what makes our workplace safe,
well,
and then it blows up.
From what
well,
I know, the explosion
my point
was
going to be in favor of labor unions, to be honest with you, but go ahead.
The explosion
oh,
was an accident. It was a horrible thing, and accidents happen. Yeah, maybe there could have been an extra, you know, $100,000 spent on new safety things, and it could have fired about five people and then had, you know, labor disputes. But it was an accident. Shit happens. It was, you know, a backdraft caused a massive explosion. You can't really prevent that with new OSHA regulations. It's just impossible.
OSHA should say not wind can only go one direction. It has to be built. You cannot operate the factory unless you have the proper wind.
They would make it illegal
factory.
For southern winds.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the FDA. It's not that I'm asking for new regulations. I'm just asking that we step in and uphold the ones that we've got. The regulations that are in place could have done something to save these people.
Maybe.
With the FDA, there are regulations that are in place.
Come on, Maya. You can do better than that.
That could save us from situations like E. coli in our cabbage.
I don't want to get into this because it's a huge sticking point for me because everyone knows what OSHA is. I've worked under MSHA, which is M-S-H-A. It's
not that kind of. Say that again.
No, like it's like the Pacific and the Atlantic and.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So I've worked under MSHA and it's
your joke was bad and you should feel bad.
Waka waka.
That hurt on the inside.
Just horrible.
Waka waka.
And working under that actually made my job more dangerous, and it didn't. I've gotten injured because of my attempt to try to follow the insane MSHA rules, and it's. I don't think MSHA or OSHA has ever done anything really beneficial. But
let's leave it at we shouldn't go into this because it'll take too long. And
whole new can of worms.
Audience, I won't respond other than I disagree.
All right. Gina, anything that you want to say to the audience wrapping up here?
Thank you guys for listening. Apologize for my
liberalness,
profanity.
Yeah, right.
No, not for my liberality is totally acceptable. I apologize for my profanity if it offends you, but I honestly don't give. this was a lot of fun, though. I hope you guys had fun,
Chris.
Had
that'll fun. Be 50 Hail Marys.
Me cry
to your knees, altar boy.
You guys got to go.
You're not even Catholic, right?
Never
he's
mind.
Not, he's a
last
Catholic
words,
Canadian.
Last words?
I am now.
Okay, I guess my last words are check out The Uncontrollables this week because I tried to do my best because through inspiration from Chris Spangle and the We Are Libertarians group here and kind of thinking about Crichton, what you're kind of doing and being more active and everything else is trying to record events. So I tried to do my best to record the Libertarian State Convention this year and did interviews, things like that. So that should be up later this week, and it's not really promoting my show. It's promoting the Libertarian Party's convention as it's being recorded. Also, if you don't watch my show, I'm going to come for you. So just keep that in mind.
Wait a minute. Did we mention earlier that somebody else won an award? Did we mention...
Yeah, Maya won an award. Yeah.
Did you mention that?
Yep.
We did.
I didn't think.
And you had to watch the YouTube channel to laugh at that. All right, so check out theuncontrollables.com.
Yes.
Or you can go to creatingmaya.com, and you'll find all of your favorite Creating Maya products. So, panty liners?
Yeah, Creating Maya panty liners.
What sort of things sort of things do you sell on that their website?
I don't sell anything on Creating Maya, so I'm going to have an Etsy, and I have a PayPal account, which is afbound905@yahoo.com. You can always give me money. It's my birthday this week, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Guess what I got you?
Nothing.
Yeah.
A podcast?
No, I gave you everything. That's what I gave you, bitch. All right.
Watch your mouth.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Check out
Man of Steel trailer number 3 came out.
Check that out.
Is going to be an awesome flick.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to We Are Libertarians. We'll see you next week, and
we'll be better next time.
No, we won't.
Lies.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell. This podcast is produced by What Is a Hoosier Productions.